Well, hey, everyone. As we open up this week's culture segment, it is always great when we can benefit from experts in our midst. And it's great because this week here at Focus on the Family, we have the Physicians Resource Council here in meetings with us. And we have availed ourselves of their expertise many times, really on all things health related to the family, sexuality, anything that's going on in the medical world, whether in the realm of public policy or just standard practice. And so I have the privilege here in the next 20 minutes of interviewing a new friend kind of to me, Dr. Frieda Busch. Welcome, Dr. Busch.
Thank you very much.
And she and I actually had the privilege of being on a speaking circuit at Cedarville University last fall together. And I'm not even sure what I talked about, but hers was very, her session was very good, obviously drawing on her own expertise. The whole session or the whole conference was on sexuality, specifically talking to the college age audience and demographic. So we're going to actually springboard off of that a little bit today, because not only is she in private practice in Mississippi, where she is an OBGYN, but she is also the CEO of the Medical Institute. Those of you who have ever heard of or read anything by Dr. Joe McElhaney, she has co-authored with him and works with him quite a bit. But they are actually co-authors of a couple books that we're going to talk about today, including Hooked, New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children, and Girls Uncovered, New Research on What America's Sexual Culture Does to Young Women. So kind of heady topics, but also something that when you talk to a young adult who's just living life, whether on a college campus or whatever, these are things that they're really wrestling with. And I found that when we talk to Christian young adults about this, sometimes in practice, and certainly in what they're struggling with, they're not far off from where the general culture is. And so I always say to our audience when I talk to y'all, I'm like, y'all, we need to get a better worldview of this. We need to figure out what is God's design for not only marriage and family, but for sexuality, and why are we not believing his bigger story for us, and we're settling for so much less, especially you ladies. I'm calling you out. You ladies are settling. I'm going to start by yelling at you, but now we're going to actually step back, and I'm going to because Dr. Busch actually has something valuable to say about this. So, well, let's go ahead. I want to just start out, if you could paint a picture for us, Dr. Busch, about kind of some of the current trends and statistics for our audience that maybe doesn't know the latest of sexuality for single young adults. You know, I've often told our audience, I don't know why we went through the 80s and 90s, you know, putting on purity rings and signing pledges and doing all this stuff in our churches and our youth groups, and none of that is translate. Well, I'm being extreme, not none of it, but it's becoming harder and harder to translate that into actual, you know, action in the culture. And can you just give us an idea here of where we are, trends around sexuality, and how that's playing out in our culture? And then has any of that translated differently, or is it the same in the church?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is that our society and culture has normalized sex, period. And that makes it attractive to teenagers and young adults. And especially when they say, well, all you have to do is wrap it up and protect yourself, meaning use a condom or use birth control. So it's really, they have separated sex from the whole person. Mm-hmm. And they have normalized it as just a physical act, forgetting and often being sabotaged by the fact that when you are sexually involved, all of you is involved. So it's not just physical. But the young people are looking at the immediate gratification and are loving it. Because as the book Hook talks about, our brains are not fully mature until our mid-20s. And before our brains are fully mature, that's what we're after. We're after enjoyment. We're after pleasure, more so than looking forward to consequences of that behavior. Mm-hmm. And so what is happening is the young people are seeing it. They bought the lie of casual sex being normal, and they are participating.
Yeah. Well, and I think we see, I mean, there are movies out there where we're seeing this kind of touted as a storyline, whether the movie's Knocked Up or now there's Friends with Benefits, and this idea that, yeah, if you're cool, if you're fully self-actualized, if you're whatever, you can actually do sex without having any kind of emotional connection. And it really is just sex, this whole idea. And you're saying, yeah, no.
No. I'm saying physically there are issues, emotionally and spiritually there are issues, because all three of those make up a person. So when you go into another person's body, or when you receive someone into your body, all of you, both of you, are involved in that, and it's going to have implications on your brain as well as your body and your spirit. Physically, I'll start there because that's the easiest thing to grasp, is we find that a fourth of all college students report that they have had sexual intercourse with six or more partners. And you also know that the more partners you have, the more likely you are to get involved with sexually transmitted diseases. And women bear the brunt, if you will, of most of those sexually transmitted diseases, especially those that affect the pelvic inflammatory processes in our body. You have chlamydia, gonorrhea. I mean, I could go down the list. Mm-hmm. But when a woman is out of college, she's ready to marry and settle down, achieve pregnancy, there may be scarring that has occurred in her body that would prevent her from being able to achieve pregnancy. The other thing about the sexually transmitted diseases, between ages 15 to 24, we only account for a fourth of the population. But that age demographic accounts for one half of all the sexually transmitted infections. Mm. So you have young people just not recognizing the consequences, if you would, of their behavior. And you can't look at someone and tell whether they have an STD or not. Mm-hmm. And so they may not know they have it, mm-hmm. and transmit it to you. Mm. The other thing that I would want to say is that 18% of college females report that they have been pregnant, and most of them were not married. And so you have the STDs, that is a problem with the consequences of that. You also have pregnancy, that is an expected outcome. Matter of fact, I tell young people, if you have sex and you get pregnant, it's not a surprise. It's not a mistake. It's one of the things that is supposed to happen with the sexual act. There is bonding that occurs with the person you're having relationships with. So when I talk about the brain, not only is it the fact that the young brain is not fully mature until the mid-20s for you to recognize risk, benefits, consequences, but also there are hormones that attach you to the person you're having sex with. As a matter of fact, it is that bonding that keeps you attached to them and allows you and the person you're having relations with to stay together, stay connected, and care for the child that is expected to be reproduced. Mm. Sex also is fueled, if you would, by dopamine, which is a very heady experience. It gives you that high. And sex is one of the greatest producers, if you would, of dopamine. And so you get rewarded for the sexual act with the dopamine. You get bonded to the person that you're having relationship with. And you want to continue to do that, not recognizing all of the other consequences that I've talked about. Hmm. Now, in a perfect world, that is what we would consider the foundation, if you would, for a good marriage. One man, one woman coming together, enjoying the sexual act, and then becoming pregnant, reproducing a child, staying connected to care for that child, and we would continue that.
Yeah.
That's the way it was designed.
Just getting back to even, I was thinking as you were walking through the disease element, yesterday I was doing lunch with y'all, and the conversation at my table was around oral sex, which I guess I can't say that often has been the case, that I'm eating a salad and that's what the conversation is. So thank you, those at my table. That was very uncomfortable. However, they were mentioning that the prevalence of throat cancers and other, I mean, I think, again, that's another misconception that, well, if I only do oral sex or I only do, you know, I think we're making a lot of justifications for things and seeing that that's problematic in and of itself. I would like to talk a little bit about the hookup culture, because again, if you're saying that all of this is happening, I think it's interesting because we have Irreplaceable, our Focus on the Family documentary coming out on May 6th. And one of the experts there was talking about the hookup culture and how when you poll young adults, overwhelmingly, most of them are very unsatisfied with hookups. And so what do you think, Dr. Bush, what is the pressure then? I know experientially when I've talked to college students, they're very much, well, we're just doing hookups because everyone's doing it. And there's not, you know, what else are you going to do on a weekend and whatever. But really, I mean, when there's such a high level of dissatisfaction, why is this becoming more and more prevalent among young adults today?
Well, a couple of things. One is that young people feel they're expected to have sex. And I've had young ladies say they feel ostracized if they do not. And so to be accepted in the group, then they participate. The other thing is I think they're being blindsided if they're considering oral sex, anal sex, mutual masturbation not to be sex. As a matter of fact, they've said, as long as I don't go all the way, meaning penile vaginal penetration, they don't consider it sex. And then you also have young ladies who have high ambitions. They want to finish high school, finish college, get their careers established before settling down with a husband if they so desire. And so they say it takes too much time and energy to be involved in a relationship. And so it's easier to just have a hookup or have a friend with benefit and not get saddled, if you would, with the relationship.
Yeah.
So they're able to accomplish their goals and dreams.
Okay. One thing that I'm seeing so often, especially among Christian young adults, is them buying into the lie. And I don't know how this became so pervasive, but I actually have, you know, single Christian young adults tell me, I am going to have sex with this person before I get married because I need to make sure that we're sexually compatible. This whole idea of compatibility, that you might lock yourself in with someone and end up, you know, being like, oh my goodness, you know, we're not compatible. I mean, what in the world are they getting at, and why do you think that's become so prevalent?
Well, my first thought is the compatibility is really begins up here in the head. And so that you end up getting to know the person and developing a friendship and a healthy relationship with them. And I promise you the body will follow. As my mother used to say, if you get that part straight, the engine, if you would, the brain, then the caboose is going to say, me too, me too. Don't leave me out. And the first time you have sex is the first time you have sex, whether it's with someone who is your spouse or not. There is always a learning curve. But if you're in a relationship with someone who cares for you as much as you care for yourself, I promise you the body will perform. And I had a 63-year-old woman in my practice. I recognize she's not a young adult, but one of her comments to me was, my husband is the only person I've ever known. And I said, why are you saying it like that? And she said, well, I don't know what else was out there. And I said, yes, you do. There was syphilis. There was gonorrhea. That was, you know, a bad relationship that you missed. But here is someone that you've been with for, I think it was like 35 years. And you enjoy being with them. And she started laughing. And she said, you know, he is the only one I've been with. And he is the bomb. And I said, absolutely. You have nothing else to compare it to, but he's great. That would be a desire, I would think, that any parent or young adult would have, to know that you're with somebody. He is the only one. And if two people who don't have an STD, they've never had sex before, come together, there are a couple of things. One, your trust for that person will definitely increase. The commitment to that person will definitely be there. And if you start at the top and get that straight, the rest will follow.
So let's talk a little bit about, because this is where I think a lot of women fall into the trap, is misunderstanding or underestimating the power of emotional attachment. And I know you talk a lot about this in the books. And what is it, Dr. Bush, that goes on in the brain that seems to basically make us go crazy and start chipping away, whether chipping or just ripping away, our boundaries and any sense of understanding of, like you said, the value between monogamy within marriage. I mean, it seems like there are ties that are formed. It seems like, and I think it starts with women. I mean, I've seen this with the prevalence of like online dating, where we start talking to someone, giving up things emotionally, giving up things about ourselves, going very deep, building an emotional bond. And then the next thing we know, we're almost building this relationship in our heads with this person. And finally we justify, well, I know them so well, or I know they're committed to me, or I know. So that on the front end, that emotional bond, but then can you speak to then the emotional bond, and you did a little bit in the front end, but how emotionally what is happening when we bond sexually?
One of the, there are three neurohormones that we really talk about as far as relationships go and sexual activity. The dopamine giving you the reward for it, the oxytocin, which is the one I want to focus on, is the one that is released that bonds you or attaches you. It actually changes the physical structure of the brain. And the studies have shown that with touching and hugging, that hormone is released within 20 seconds, which causes you to start trusting that person. And of course, you begin to have a better feeling toward them. And even if that person betrays you, and even if there is abuse or sabotage, if you would, of the relationship with what they call cheating or other things, because of the physical structure of the brain, because of that hormone being there, you can be blindsided and clouded and not even see that result. And that is a real issue as far as women are concerned in particular. We have a tendency to trust. And even if somebody told you the guy is not treating you right, you offer up excuses. And that is not just the words that he's saying, but also it has now become a part of your brain structure. That's why you think about the guy even after you break up. Mm-hmm. That's why each one of us could probably tell you about our first relationship, even though it may not have continued, because that imprint is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's something that's so, so often overlooked.
By the way, men have vasopressin that mm-hmm. is very similar to the oxytocin hmm. that is more receptors in their brain that allows them to also bond not only to the woman that they have relationship with and produce a child with, but it also helps them bond to the child. Hmm. And that's a benefit for the family formation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's just talk frankly, Dr. Bush, to the, again, Christian single adult, the person who is listening to this show right now, who is very practically looking at a span where within this generation, marriage is being delayed. We're seeing, and many of this, I mean, and I, you know, I often talk to parents of young adults and I say, you need to stop contributing to the problem by telling your young adult that they're too young to marry, or they should wait till they're 30, or they should wait till they can own a home or whatever. So we're seeing young adults that are saying, you know, I know I signed that pledge in youth group. I know I want to be biblically sound. I know God's design for sexuality, but can I, quote unquote, hold out until I'm 27, 28, 29, the age at which so many now are starting to marry? How do we reconcile that chasm and live out a biblical sexuality as single people in the meantime?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. One is I agree with you wholeheartedly about what's magic about waiting until you are older. When you are in college, you find someone there who is walking the same path you're walking, has the same dreams and goals. Why can't you get together? And the hormones are compatible. Mm-hmm. Why can't you get together mm-hmm. now and build that life together and accomplish those dreams and goals together? The second thing that comes to mind is that you mentioned the virginity pledges. Those did have a benefit. Even the studies that said they didn't work because young people would have sex eventually before they got married, what the studies also pointed out was that there was at least a 1.5 to 2 year, sometimes 3 year distance between the virginity pledge and the initiation of sex. Hmm. Well, if the brain is not fully mature until the mid-20s, what do you think 2 to 3 years delay would do? It would help you to make better decisions. So let's say if you're 16 or 18 when you make the pledge, and you honor that pledge, and now you're 21 and you're in a relationship where you're wanting to break the pledge, I think you're going to make a better decision about the person that you're with at 21 or 22 than at 16 or 18. You know, 16 or 18, he looks good, he smells good, he talks good. Mm-hmm. But at 21, 22,
he took me out for pizza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he took me out for
amazing.
Pizza.
Yeah.
But now you're going to go, wait a minute, where is he going in his life? Mm-hmm. What are his ambitions? How does he treat his mama? You're going to be looking at those values, if you would, that are more long term. Mm-hmm. You're going to make a better decision. And the studies also showed that when you had taken the virginity pledge and you initiated sexual activity, it usually was with one person, so you have fewer partners, and most of them eventually married that person. So it still ended up being that one person that you were with for life. So it may not have been perfect honoring of the pledges, but so much better to mm-hmm. have made a pledge mm-hmm. than not to have made a pledge. And what I would suggest is that for young people, even now, who are considering whether they would, what type of relationship they would be in or whether they should make a pledge, regardless, you need to set boundaries for yourself. Mm-hmm. Just because the guy asks you is not a reason. Mm-hmm. I would think that young people would have to decide, what type of person am I wanting to be with? And what boundaries am I going to set for myself so that I will know I go this far and no more? And I'm not talking about oral sex, anal sex, etc. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, what is he going to have to do, or what are you going to have to do in order for that progression of the relationship? You know, maybe handholding. It may be don't go below the waist. It may be whatever your set of boundaries are. I actually have young ladies in my office who make contracts with themselves as to what behaviors they will not go beyond. Mm-hmm. And they get that clear on the very front end. Mm-hmm. And we teach this, that you'll say with the young man, this is as far as I'm going, or I'm not going this far. Let's get to know each other first before we go any further.
And I would say, I mean, make that contract with the young man or woman and bring someone else into the mix as well.
Accountability.
I just think that we have completely lost the concept of dating in community, and to have people, whether from your church, people, you know, whether it's a parent or someone who's going to step in and be a part of that experience, not only to just shepherd the process along and make sure that they're helping you make good choices and see things objectively in this person that, you know, you're probably not, because you're just going to throw everything out the window, but also to covenant with that person for purity, for, you know, soundness, for wisdom in relationship decisions. I think that's so important. And I encourage those boomers, I encourage married adults, those who are in the church, to take some young adults in your church under your wing and mm-hmm. really start speaking into their lives in a way that matters, because I think it does. They do care. And I think that's a great
I would
thing
also
to have.
Like to say something to the young lady or the young man who has already become sexually active. Mm-hmm. Maybe they made a pledge and they broke it, mm-hmm. but now they're rethinking that and feel because I've already started, it's too late. Mm-hmm. Well, it's never too late. Mm-hmm. A matter of fact, you can always make a different decision. We were talking earlier about the brain being molded as a result of our behavior and as a result of the hormones that are released. Well, the brain is plastic, and it can be remolded with a different decision and a different action to support that decision. Your brain can be changed. And that, to me, is a good news. It reminds me of some of the scriptures. I'm thinking of one in particular, Romans 12:1-2, this talks about presenting your body, mm-hmm. a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. But Romans 12:2 says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you are not doomed because you've already, well, I've been there, done that. No, different decision, different behavior can really mold you to make for yourself a healthier future. And I would encourage young people to do that.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Bush. I've been talking to Dr. Frieda Bush here. Again, the books are Girls Uncovered and Hooked. We've been talking, I mean, just a great friend of Focus on the Family and of Boundless, kind of boots on the ground, understanding what men and women are dealing with, understanding with what the culture is being, what we're ingesting, I guess, from the culture, and certainly understanding the medicine and the anatomy and the chemistry behind it all. So thank you so much, Dr. Bush, for weighing in with your expertise.
I appreciate the opportunity.